And as you think about this, causes of stress and depression during Christmas. They said that Christmas time is one of the highest times of depression in the world. Why is that? Well, because for many, it's the absence of a beloved person. For some people, this will be the first Christmas that you will go through without one of the loved ones in your life who had a significant part of your life.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series titled, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Depression Can Hurt, The Lord Can Help.
This morning we come to deal with the subject of depression. Somebody asked to do a message on depression, and I gave these messages to the choirs and everybody several months ago, probably back in October, and I told them what I was going to be preaching on the certain Sundays, and no idea that depression would be in line with the events that has just transpired over the last couple of days. My focus kind of was on the fact that during Christmas that people have a tendency to be a little bit more depressed than maybe at other times of the year. But as we enter into this time with all that is taking place in Connecticut, we see that there will probably be a lot more people that will be dealing with this subject today. So I would pray, you know, maybe you're sitting here and you say, well, this message is not for me. You know, I'm not necessarily dealing with depression. Well, maybe there's somebody around you that will be dealing with it. And God may want you to share these notes with them. God may want you to get a copy of the CD and share that with them. Because as I'm going to point out in the message today, that this is a serious thing. And it's not only serious in the world, but it's also serious in the body of Christ. And as we come today, I ask that we would be prayerful because one of the things that we are not certain of is what the end of depression will lead to. The person who is depressed, if they don't get the necessary intervention, may find themselves doing something drastic. So God has called us as Christians. Paul said in Romans chapter 15 and verse 14 that you are competent to counsel. He wasn't talking about licensed and trained psychiatrists and psychologists. He was talking to the saints. And what he was saying is that you have the word of God. And what I'm going to show you today is that by us having the word of God, that we should be able to help people who are going through times of depression. Now, again, I'm going to bring it out in the message a little later. There are some people that need a little more serious intervention, and I'm going to talk about that during the message today. But as Christians that are grounded in the Word, that love the Lord, you know, to some degree, we ought to be able to touch the lives of those who are dealing with depression. So today, I come to you in the words of that famous commercial that's on TV today, depression can hurt. Unlike Cymbala, or what is it? Is that what it's called? Cymbalta. All right, Cymbalta. The Lord can help. Depression can hurt. The Lord can help. As we get started today, somebody has said depression is the common cold of mental health issues. Now think about that for a minute. You know, the common cold, we have used that expression for a long time to say that, you know, a cold is a common thing among people, and that generally, at least one time a year, unless you have a real strong immune system, most people may catch a cold. You know, even some people I've heard that had flu shots, and maybe they didn't get the certain strand of flu, whatever the case might be. But the common cold is something that happens to a lot of people. Well, according to those in the field of this profession, they say that depression is the common cold of mental health issues. And to prove that, I went and pulled up some statistics dealing with depression. 7 out of every 100 people will suffer depression after the age of 18. As many as 1 in 33 children, that is 1 in 8, and 1 in 8 adolescents, have clinical depression. About 6 million people are affected by late life depression. So later on in life, we see that about 6 million people are affected by late life depression, and only 10% of them will ever receive treatment. For every one man that develops depression, 2 women will develop depression. By the year 2020, depression will be the 2nd most common health problem in the world. Depression often exists with other diseases such as chronic pain, arthritis, diabetes, and HIV. 25% of all cancer patients experience depression. 1 out of every 3 people that have had a heart attack and survived experience depression. 27% of individuals with substance abuse disorder experience depression. Clinical or major depression is one of the top causes of disability throughout the world today. So this lets us know that depression is a serious thing. As we look at what is depression, I read several definitions on depression, and I put this one together. Depression is an intense feeling of sadness that extends over a certain period of time. This state becomes a life-dominating problem because it affects every area of a person's being: emotional state, family, friends, employment, social life, and even worship. That many individuals who are depressed, that it affects every area of their life. Someone has said that depression is like living in a deep, dark hole. Now, I put up some statistics about Christmas and depression. If you'll go to that next slide. Christmas and depression. And as you think about this, causes of stress and depression during Christmas. They said that Christmas time is one of the highest times of depression in the world. Why is that? Well, because for many, it's the absence of a beloved person. For some people, this will be the first Christmas that you will go through without one of the loved ones in your life who had a significant part of your life. And so going through that has a tendency to weigh on people's hearts a little bit heavier maybe than other times of the year. You know, during this time of the year, we get together, you know, for parties, and we get together to exchange gifts, and now here's somebody that's not there anymore. So all of a sudden, you begin to think about that, that here is a person that was normally here that's not here anymore. Secondly, we see family misunderstandings cause depression. You know, Christmas should be a time for families coming together, for families enjoying each other, but for many families, this is not the case. For many families, Christmas is a time of conflict, and it's a time of war because families are not getting along. And so this causes stress and depression during Christmas time. Economic difficulties, that you may want to buy some gifts that you can't afford. You can't give the gifts that you want, so it starts to weigh on you. That maybe financially you have dealt with other situations and it's causing a strain on your emotion, and so Christmas kind of adds to that situation. Physical tiredness, people dealing with parties and shopping and all these other things that's associated with Christmas, that sometimes people find themselves at some point when they come to the place where they realize it, that I've been doing all this, and then they just find themselves weary and worn out and tired. And so that leads to a depressive state. Some people are just lonely. They see other people getting engaged. You know, they got these jewelry commercials on TV. He went to Jared and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, we see other things where, people are out shopping with family and going out to dinner, and some people may not have that those relationships, and so it's a lonely time for them. So Christmas can be a time of depression. And then we see that there's something called seasonal emotional disturbance, and basically, that is where, a certain amount of, we'll talk about this a little later, it's a couple names have given to it, but where, we might not experience as much light as we do at other times of the year, and so some people have an issue that when it gets darker sooner and, it seems to be more gloomy and glum, that Christmas can be a time of depression. So as we come to Christmas, we need to begin to ask ourselves and keep ourselves in check to realize that Christmas can be a depressing time if we don't handle it the right way. We might think, well, I'm strong, I can deal with it, but if we are not refreshing our resources in Christ, if we are not walking with God during this time, these same six issues that have been pointed out here can be true of your life, and you will find yourself in a state of depression. And so we need this message today to help us to be on guard for ourselves, but also if God would lead us to minister to someone else, that we would have some resources to be able to deal with them. Now, as we look at the scripture, there are people in the Bible who suffered from depression. Some of God's greatest saints suffered from depression. When we think about the scriptures, we see four people that clearly we can identify as having suffered from depression. One is Naomi, and we see that in Ruth chapter 1, that she was one who lost her husband, she lost her sons, and then life just became a dark cloud for her. As a matter of fact, she told people to call her bitter, that the Almighty had dealt with her in a bitter way, and so this depression had come over her. The next one we see in the scripture is Hannah. And Hannah, you remember, was the mother of Samuel, and she was unable to have a child there for a while. And so she entered into this state of heaviness because she was unable to have a child. And we see that God eventually blessed her, opened up her womb so that she was able to have one. We see that David experienced depression. In Psalm 42, he said, "Lord, why is my soul cast down?" One of the greatest kings in the Bible, the man after God's own heart, he suffered depression. One of God's greatest prophets, Elijah, that after he had his confrontation with Jezebel out there on Mount Carmel, that Jezebel said that she was going to take his life, and Elijah began to run from Jezebel, and we see that Elijah comes to a place where he is now desiring that the Lord would take his life. He said, "Lord, take my life. Take me out of here." As I was reading, studying for this message, one of the great preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is known as the Prince of Preachers. As a matter of fact, his biography is called The Prince of Preachers. And one wrote in his biography about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, it says, "What he suffered in those times of darkness, we may not know. Even his desperate calling on God brought no relief." And then he summarizes it by saying this: "There are dungeons," he said, "beneath the castles of despair." And so here was Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers to ever walk across the face of the earth, and he experienced depression. Now, if these champions, if these saints have experienced depression, then we need to realize that this is something that can come on us. What are the different types of depression? And I want to go through these real quick and just talk about them, as they relate to the message. Now, there are many types of depression, all right? I mean, as I was researching and as I was looking, there was many types of depression. But I wanted to bring out these specific ones because I felt that they were relative to where God's people are in dealing with this topic. So first one is called major depression. And that means a person is going through a state of emotional darkness, which is accompanied by many feelings and signs that we'll talk about here in a second. We're going to go through some of the signs and symptoms of depression, but major depression is when people are experiencing many of these signs that we're going to talk about here in a second. Situational depression. And this is the type of depression that comes on people who are overloaded with responsibilities, and they come to the point where they have exerted all of their emotional, physical, and spiritual resources. That they have, you may be on your job, you are working extra hours, you are working extra hard, and then you haven't taken the time to replenish yourself, and what you're going to find is that you may come crashing down, and the next thing you know, depression will set in on you, situational depression. Here's one that I've had the opportunity to deal with several people with, not only to counsel people dealing with this one, but even see it in some of my own family members, and that is manic depression. And that is where people are going through a state of depression where there are extreme highs and there are extreme lows. On one occasion, the person will be hyped up, zooming around, fired up, happy, exhilarant, and then the next thing you know, they're just crashed out, you know, bombed out, all right? Like some of y'all right now, you're kind of bombing out, right? You know, and, you know, this is scary. You know, especially having counseled people who have dealt with this, because you can be talking to the person, and next thing you know, they're out. You know, they're gone. And so they are dealing with this issue of manic depression. There's one that's called adjustment disorder with depression, and that is a depression that comes as a reaction to major life crisis situations, such as there's been a death in your family, or a divorce, or retirement, or illness, or maybe you've lost a job, whatever the case might be, that this type of depression is actually a reaction to some major life crisis. And a lot of people deal with these situations. You know, some people that have lost loved ones, you know, they go into a state of depression. Now, I will say this, that when you lose a loved one, there's a certain gloominess that's going to come over you. There's no question about that. You know, there's a certain dark cloud that's going to come into your life. No question about that. And some people grieve differently than other people. Some people grieve longer than other people. And all that is understood. Now, the thing is that's why you have to, and I'll say this, and some of you need to mark this, you need to grieve in a healthy manner. You know, there is healthy grieving and there is unhealthy grieving. That's why I praise God that we have a grief ministry here at Bethany Baptist Church, because it helps people to grieve in a healthy way. People that don't grieve in a healthy way, then what happens is that depression begins to set in on them. And then it becomes a more difficult situation. Not only have you lost a loved one, but now you're dealing with a situation of depression. And the fact of the matter is, I guarantee you this, that your loved one, who, if they knew Jesus Christ and has gone on, now watch this now, I want you to hear me now. I want you to hear me. See, I can say this at a time like this. If your loved one has passed away and gone on to be with the Lord, and you are ungrieving in a healthy way, I'm sure that's not what they want you to do. Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, when I go, I already told my wife, I want you to throw a party. Because I know where I'm going, and I'm going to be rejoicing. Now, everybody don't have that attitude, I understand. All right, everybody don't have that, so that's Pastor Glaze. All right, and if I see it, you know what? That's why I told my wife to lay me out, right? Let me lay out for a couple days or whatever, my day, and let people come by and shed their tears. You know, let them say, oh, he was a good pastor. Then, well, who we going to vote for next? But, you know, let them come by. You know, let them, you know, shed a tear. Let them grieve. But you know what? Don't grieve in an unhealthy way for me. You know, get your grieving in. Do your grieving. And then, you know, get on with your life. You know, and I'm not saying get on with it next week. I'm not saying get on with it next month. I'm not even saying get on with it next year. You grieve healthy, and however long it takes you to grieve healthy, let it happen. But don't grieve in an unhealthy way. And if you find yourself start grieving in an unhealthy way, that's when intervention is needed. And so I'm not even talking about death, but I'm talking about even divorce and retirement, illness, whatever the case might be. If there's been a loss in your life, then you really need to understand what it means to grieve and how to grieve that loss. There's the one I talked about earlier, which is seasonal affective disorder. And this is the depression that comes on individuals, especially during the winter months when there's less light. Or even, you know, you go to places where it's night most of the time, you'll find that there are higher rates of depression in those areas because there's something about light that causes people to not have to deal with depression. And then there is what's known as psychotic depression, and this is depression which is accompanied by hallucinations and schizophrenia. So these are some of the types of depression. Now, as you look at that right there, many of us can fall into one of these categories. And so that's why I say we have to be careful. Now, I'm going to put up something here, and this is going to help you out, all right? We're going to talk about feelings associated with depression and also signs of depression. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not a psychologist, but I play one on TV. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not a psychologist, but I would say that if you are dealing with six or more of these things, that you may need to get some intervention, all right? If what I'm getting ready to share with you, if there are six or more of these things, and then even if there's just one, depending on the degree to which you are dealing with it, you may need to get some intervention. But if you are dealing with perpetual sadness in your life, right? I mean, there's just no joy. You just kind of are going through life. I remember when I was growing up, I used to watch this cartoon called The Flintstones. And there was this guy on there, his name was Schleprock. I don't know if some of y'all know who I'm talking about. But he just walked around, and wherever he went, there was a cloud over his head, and it was raining, right? And some of y'all like Schleprock, man. You know, wherever you go, it's just this sadness, this continual sadness that's raining down on your life. There's never any joy in your life. There's never any happiness in your life, but it's just perpetual sadness. And if that's the case, if that's your case, then you need to really ask yourself, is this something that I'm dealing with? Guilt is another thing. Are you overridden with guilt? Is there something that you've done, maybe some wrong that you have committed, and now this guilt is just eating you up, and you can't get rid of this guilt? Helplessness. You just feel helpless. I mean, do you feel like you're drowning, and there's nobody there to throw you a lifeguard? There's, you know, just helplessness, hopelessness. There's no hope in my life. You don't see any hope. Just you don't see things getting better in your life. All you see is just this endless sea of uneventful circumstances that are causing you to have no hope at all. And then worthlessness. You just don't feel like anything. You know, you just feel like you know, I'm no good to my family. I'm no good to the people around me. I'm no good to myself. There's this sense of worthlessness. Now, what are the signs of depression? So that, you know, I'm saying that with the feelings and the signs, if you're dealing with about five of these things, then you probably need to, again, seek some intervention. A decrease or increase in appetite. You know, you've either lost your appetite or, you know, you can't get enough. Negative self-concept, which almost goes back to the idea of worthlessness. Your difficulty in concentrating. So there might be a lot of people that have that one right there, so we might not want to weigh that one as heavy. Significant weight gain or weight loss. Chronic fatigue. Withdrawal. If you just find yourself not wanting to be around people, right, then you may need to, you know, check yourself because you may be dealing with, you know, a certain degree or a certain level of depression. Irritability. Too much or not enough sleep. Loss of interest, especially in the things that you enjoy doing. And then suicidal thoughts. That, you know, if these things are in your life, then you may need to be dealing with depression. And see, the problem, I mean, you may be dealing with depression. And the problem is that, as I said earlier, and I read it about older saints,
thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Depression Can Hurt, The Lord Can Help. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Depression Can Hurt, The Lord Can Help, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Depression can hurt. The Lord can help. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Depression Can Hurt. The Lord Can Help.
When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.